Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal with your hosts, Sherry Peng and Jason O'Fear. Explore with us the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and Bigfoot. You can also call into the show at 215-383-3999 and join the discussion.
Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason O'Fear, here with always Sherry. Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you, Jason?
Not too bad. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. It's going to be a better New Year, right?
I certainly hope so. So, looking back on your 2016, was it a good year for you or a bad year? Because I keep seeing posts online saying that 2016, worst year ever, which I kind of don't agree with. I'm sure the people, the 8 million or so people that died during the Spanish flu in the early 1900s or people living in Syria would say 2016 was the worst year ever. But for Americans, I don't see it as being the worst year ever. But how was your 2016?
It was a very good year for me, and it's going to be, it is going to be, and it is, like I said, a good year starting. So I find it going to be just even better. It's just going to grow in a better way and expand. So that's what I feel anyway. That's what I'm bringing into my life and those that are around me. How about you, Jason?
It's been a year of transition, a lot of changes, you know, work and stuff like that. It was okay. It wasn't terrible. Do you have any like psychic inclination on what 2017 brings? Any vibe or anything?
You're asking me? I don't know about that. I do private psychic readings, but not being projections. No, I don't, and I don't want to tell you. I have no idea what's going to happen. So I just live one day at a time and make the best of it. So what about you? What do you think, Jason?
No, I have no psychic abilities at all. I think I'm hoping that it'll be a little bit more of a peaceful year without so much craziness in the world. I mean, one can hope, but you never know. But hopefully it'll be a good year for everyone. And so I do see we have a caller in queue. We're doing open lines tonight, so anybody that can call in and talk about whatever we want to talk about. And this show was kind of last minute because I was a little bit absent-minded regarding setting it up, so I set it up literally like 15 minutes ago. So I don't expect a lot of activity on the show, but I'm glad that I caught my air in enough time to set everything up. And I didn't have time to look at anything online that we can talk about, so it's going to be like a total complete free-for-all. But I did have one personal story, some information I learned yesterday, which is really interesting. It appears that the place that I am living at is haunted, Sherry.
Oh my goodness, really? Okay, Jason, don't tell me anything about it. I'll have to come over one of these days and check it out, and you'll have to get your equipment.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't really know much about it, but I do want to, I won't give any locations or anything like that. Personally, I'm kind of sensitive to weird energies and stuff, and ever since I moved in here, there's an area of the house that makes me uncomfortable, like not really bad or anything, but just wary, you know, kind of look over your shoulder kind of thing, and I had never mentioned that. I had never mentioned it to my roommate, and because I never really felt much other than just this one particular area. Well, yesterday it came out during our conversations that there had been some activity in the house. And what's interesting is when she had some phone lines installed a long time ago, the guy that was installing the phone lines had to work in the area that made me uncomfortable. And he told my roommate that he would never step foot in the house again. Because
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and I just find it interesting that the one area that I feels weird, this repairman thought was funky too, haunted and stuff like that. And she had told me some other things. So I'm okay with it as long as, now this area is in close proximity to where I sleep, but as long as whatever's here stays in its little corner and leaves me alone, I don't got no issues with it.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead and take the caller, and then we'll, after we're done, you know, I will talk about a subject related to what you just talked about.
Okay. Hey, who's this?
Take three guesses, and the first two don't count.
Hi, how are you?
Oh,
hey, Jerry, how are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Yay!
Jason, did you get my text today?
I got. Unfortunately, I don't really get cell reception where I live. So what happens is my phone's dead, and then suddenly I get bombarded with texts, and I can't even really make phone calls where I'm at. So I did get some tests. I heard that, or well, it's probably, I don't know if it's something you want to talk about, but I am curious about. You said you had an accident or something.
Yes. You know, this is not anything to do with the Paranormal Horizons, other than me being an avid listener when I can, of course. And I was actually time to, for myself, to go do something adventurous. So I had some lift tickets, decided I was going to go skiing, which, you know, I'm a good skier. I've skied plenty of times. And I was even a ski instructor for the Crown family when I lived in Aspen, Colorado, but that was many moons ago. And I get on the lift, go up the hill. I'm having a great time skiing. Everything's fine. It's just like riding a bike. Get back on, keep going. And my last run of the day, going pretty fast, come around to what's called a waterfall chute in Alyeska Ski Resort in Alaska there in Girdwood. And I come around the corner there, it's a little icy, and this couple in front of me had just wiped out, and pretty hard. So I went to slam on the brakes, if anybody knows what that means. In other words, I took my skis to the side and bear down really hard to come to a stop. And when I did that, my downhill ski had come detached from the binding, boot right in, and buckled my leg from one end to the other. So,
what did you do to your leg again?
I buckled it. When I say buckled it, I snapped it in two. So I have a tibial plateau fracture, ACL is gone, both meniscus are floating, the femoral muscle that attaches is partially tore. Just very traumatic, a lot of trauma.
Did they airlifting you?
No. Well, what they did was they got me down off the hill, and then they were going to take me to the hospital in an ambulance. And, of course, I work at the hospital. I'm like, no, you're not going to take me to the hospital in an ambulance. And they went and got my Jeep, drove the Jeep up the hill. Of course, they all fell in love with my Jeep because it's a really cool Jeep. And they kind of just poured me into the front seat, and I drove myself to the hospital.
Oh, wow. Well, how long do you have to have any surgery or any recovery? Well,
yep.
How long is your recovery?
Well, recovery should go pretty quick. Surgery's in 2 weeks. They want the swelling to go down first. And for me to get, because it's really stiff right now with all the trauma, they need to get it limbered back up again so that the replacement will take. Anyway, enough about that. This has nothing to do with Paranormal Horizons. I don't want to be narcissistic and make it all about me.
No, I was going to ask you the question about kind of conspiracy theory along that line. I was going to ask you what, being up in Alaska, how is the health care compared to the United States? I mean, even though Alaska is part of the United States, but you're kind of out there. So I was just curious and I was going to ask you, how is the health care up there compared to
healthcare, it's the same everywhere you go. The thing with Alaska is, you know, the hospital I work for is Blue Cross Blue Shield, so it's basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, no different. If you have it, you have it. If you don't, you don't. It's a good thing that I have it.
That's good.
And you know how Obama made it. He made it, if you don't have it, you get fined and penalized. And even then, you know, you're going to be in a lot of trouble if something happens to you, because then if it wasn't for charity systems or whatnot, then people that don't have insurance are even in a worse bind.
I know.
Very tough.
Wow.
Been seeing some really good northern lights up here. That's Joan in the background trying to talk along with me. If you hear someone going, yep. So, Jonah's talking. Yeah, it's Jason. Yeah, he gets pretty excited when he hears Jason's voice, because him and Jason used to be pretty close buddies there.
Do they have a memory of an elephant, by the way?
Oh, absolutely. They never forget. The parrots are very, very, very intelligent.
All right.
No, he doesn't know he's a bird. He thinks he's a little boy, and he is. He's my little boy. Keep me going, man, I tell you.
All right.
Yep, he's my rock.
Hey.
I have not been able to call you guys the last couple of weeks, because things are pretty crazy up here for a little bit, and we are in winter right now. I mean, winter solstice just went by on the 21st, and it's very dark up here. But little at a time, the sun's going to start coming back, and it's going to get better and better and better for sure.
Oh, wow.
I was wondering what happened
to you. I've never been to Alaska. It's one of the few places I would love to go.
Yeah, and then I lost my phone. Something happened with my phone, and I wasn't able to get a phone just yet. And it took me a little bit to finally get a phone. That's why I have a different phone number now. Lost all my contacts. A little bit at a time. I'm, you know, finding people again and finding people's numbers again and getting contacts again. So it's been difficult for me.
Oh wow. Well,
I've been trying to get hold of Jason, and I had a wrong number. And these people led me to believe that it was him, and it wasn't him. And I was like asking like certain questions I know that only Jason would know, you know, and they're like not giving me the right answers. And I finally was able to talk to them, and I was like, you know what? Not cool. You people are not cool. So then when I finally found this number here, I'm trying to communicate with Jason, and I'm like, I don't know if this is him or not. Only he knows the secret things that I know.
That is so weird. So people were trying to pretend to be me?
Yes. Yes. It was a young guy and a girl, and it really ticked me off, too, because I finally got to talk to him. I'm like, you know what? You people, this is not very smart of you, for one, and not very cool of you, for two. And, you know, I believe that when you do bad things will come back on you. I believe in karma and things.
That was a bad joke, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it was. Yep.
What did they say when you said it wasn't cool?
Oh, they were like, well, we didn't know who you were, and we thought you were playing a joke on us. I'm like, yeah, well, I guess I see that, but that was not the deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, usually they'll joke, and then they'll, you know, say, oh, I'm just teasing, I don't know who you are,
yeah,
or something like that. Carry it on. That's pretty mean.
Yeah. So all day today, I've been trying to get a hold of, find out, this is forever to get a hold of Paranormal Horizon. I finally found you guys. I was like, well, here's the number. I got it. I got Paranormal Horizon's number. So I made sure I called in to talk to you, let you know I'm still alive. Make sure I got the right number.
When was the accident?
This happened last Thursday.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not been, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So there you have it, folks, on Paranormal Horizon for having a reunion.
Yeah.
A reunion with my best buddy.
Jonah's literally kind of clawing me through the phone right now.
I said that accident is going to force you to slow down a little bit.
Yes. So as it goes right now, I am not running around very good at all. In fact, today I feel like it's getting a little bit better. I can't move really fast, because if not, my knee will there's nothing holding my knee together other than pretty much what's left of the skin and, you know, ligaments or tendons or whatever. We know that the anterior cruciate ligament is not attached whatsoever. The posterior cruciate ligament is attached. And then there is no meniscus. The meniscus are floating on both sides, so they're not even where they're supposed to be.
Wow.
And then what really hurts is where the femoral muscle is tore on the medial side, on the inside of the knee, where it attaches to the medial condyle right on top. It's just not – that's what hurts the most. And then they stuck a big 18-gauge needle in me and sucked out two big old tubes of just fluid and blood out of there, which took a lot of a pressure off of my leg. But it's just gnarly.
You're
going to
wait 2 weeks?
Is that going to
get you in for surgery then?
Yeah, we're going to wait 2 weeks for most of the edema and the trauma to kind of just mellow out, get some range of motion back. And then they're going to go in there and do the allograft and clean out the meniscus. Have to put a bone graft where the tibia is broke, the back portion of the tibia. Plateau is broke.
Wow.
So they'll clean that, the broken bone out, and then they'll put like some kind of like a bone graft there. So back together. Whatever they do, they got it. Yeah. So happy New
boy.
Year.
So with the subject with Jason, have you had any experiences in your house that you currently live in, or any past experiences in any of your past dwellings of being haunted or anything?
Well, yeah, actually, the house I live in now is kind of awesome because it's on wheels, so it's not going to get haunted unless something bad happens inside of it, or if I park somewhere where something has terribly happened. And I have not experienced anything that I know of personally that would have anything to do with a manifestation of any sort, other than possibly man-made manifestations from movie nights in the past.
Movie nights. Okay.
Ew. Good
for you.
Awesome. There's a way, huh? But I can. The one place that I lived at that even my brother, he'll still talk about this, and my mother to this day, was it's kind of a government housing, like, you know,
okay.
I guess you consider it the ghettos of southern Jersey, where there was some sort of Indian burial ground, was what they were saying. That's where they built this these projects at. And then we would literally have poltergeist-type situations. And we were just kids with black-and-white TV and cords still on the telephones that were rotary. And we're not even push-button phones at the time.
Oh, boy, yeah,
and
we go way back, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And
oh
things
my
would
gosh,
fly off
crazy?
The wall.
Yeah, I'm talking about way back.
TVs. Never forget this stuff, where things would fly off the wall, mostly at my brother, my older brother. TVs would turn on by themselves. And I always felt like something was underneath of my bed. You know, I would literally get on top of my bed, run, and jump off of it toward the door because I was afraid to climb off the bed because I always felt like something was underneath my bed. The same way when I would get into the bed. I would take a running leap, jump right in the center of the bed, hurry up and hide underneath the covers because I felt like something was underneath my bed all the time.
Wow. Yeah, that's not good to go in without doing any type of closing and ceremony and you know, asking for permission to build and that kind of thing. Those, yeah, they get them pretty upset. That's what I'm my understanding.
Yeah.
They can get pretty upset.
Yep, this is true. So how about you guys? How you guys doing?
Doing good. Very, very good. It's a really good new year, like Jason and I were talking about. It's not as bad as a lot of people had the experience of their own, but, you know, I look at it for every day in every way. You know, everything gets better and better. So, you know, as long as we keep in balance of our body, mind, and spirit and ask for protection at the same time, I think we're going to be okay. So that's my motto anyway, and I feel that it's going to be a better year. So, you know, it's improvement all the way around in my life. So, yeah, it's good. How about you, Jason? You tell Tim?
Yeah, it's. I'm hoping for a good year. Who knows, though? Life is so unpredictable. But I'm glad to hear you're okay.
It's interesting. It can be. We have free will, and that's what's interesting about, you know, when I do a psychic reading and you know, people ask, I can tell them a range or I see a child in the future, but, you know, we all have free will. In a thought pattern, we can change that pattern and have another course in our lives. So, yeah, it's just being mindful for every thought and every action. It takes discipline.
Absolutely. Well,
I feel that it's going to be a good year. I do. I feel it's going to be a good year no matter what. I know things happen for a reason. I know that things do happen for a reason.
Attitude, you're putting that energy out there.
Yeah.
You know, you get people that are so negative and bring all that negative energy. It's like they bring that on because they, you know, their thought patterns are like that. So, you know, you can do only so much, and sometimes we get setbacks, but use them as a lesson. There's always a jewel behind every rough and every rough in a diamond.
I have to agree with that. Absolutely agree with that, and I know that Jason does too.
I agree with it. Although, as you both know, I'm not the most optimistic person in the world. I tend to get a little down and out, but I always try and find something good out of something bad. I try. I make the effort, but it's hard. I think it's kind of ingrained in my psyche to be a negative nanny, so to speak.
Well, that's fine because everyone has that ability, like you said. I mean, to be pessimistic is just as easy as to be optimistic. If we find that happy medium, which is easy for one to say, and it's actually easy for one to do, it's just a set of mind or frame of mind set. It's not easy. I am my own worst enemy, so I'm down on me more than anyone's down on me. And I put myself in that position, and I do it at free will because I feel sorry for me the most. And I know that when I do that, it's my own way of making my own self hurt because I put myself in that negative pattern. As I get older, I feel a lot more wise, though I feel like that wisdom could be much better and the action that goes with it could be more in a positive way than it is a negative way, only concerning myself. I like to fix other people, but more than I like to fix myself and take care of myself. So that's what makes it difficult for me, is I will not put myself first. I will always put someone before me when really I should be at least taking care of myself, because taking care of me will help me be a better person to take care of someone else. So it's a vicious cycle in my own psyche, if that makes sense.
Yes, that makes sense. Definitely. And the fact that you've acknowledged that really puts you a step further and becoming more balanced, because of knowing that you're more mindful and you can see, I need to look at myself in order to be as efficient as I can to be able to help others. It's amazing. That's awesome, Tim.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Most guys don't even acknowledge that, let alone say that. I really admire you. I have a lot of respect for you. Seriously, that's awesome. Seriously, we all have our shortcomings and we all have our lessons. Being able to say, hey, you know, I talk about people too much, or, you know, do this or do that. We all have that. It's just a matter of degrees. It's just working on it, acknowledging it, and just coming to saying, okay, being mindful, I won't do that, or I won't do that as much as I do, and just become more balanced. That's all it is. Yeah, it's not about being perfect. It's like I said on my website, it's not about being perfect. It's becoming whole, and that's what's more important. So.
And Tim is one of the most giving people I know. I mean, he's always helping people out. Seriously.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
Well, I sure do appreciate it. You guys are going to make me start crying, so I got to stop talking.
No, you don't have to. It's awesome. That is amazing. I don't hear very many men that do say that and say, hey, I need to work on this or I feel this, because it's all about the ego, you know. And you do need a certain amount of ego, you know, to function, but when it overtakes your intuition and your mindset and how things go, it can be a big detriment. It really is. And we just have to keep it in check. With myself, I have to keep, when I do readings, whether they're psychic mediumship, doing Chinese medicine, I have to keep the most proficient as I am, I keep my ego aside and let God or universe or whoever, the powers that be, channel that information and go right at it. I get myself out of the way and become a hollow bone. So that's the best it can be.
I have
you
to,
need
I
to
have
move
to
back
concur.
To Portland. You need
oh,
to move
no
back
doubt,
to Portland,
man. No doubt. I could, you know, I had an opportunity there and I applied for it and everything. And then they, you know who I'm talking about. They chose someone else. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm still here until I can apply again. We'll see.
I can laugh. You're there if you like it, right, Tim?
Yeah, you know, it's I tell you what, it's chilly cold up here right now. But,
really?
You know, it's been, you know, today I think it was 4 degrees all day long. And, like that was the high for today. And then, you know, it's not too bad. If it's above 10 degrees, it's really not bad. When it gets below 10 degrees, it gets pretty chilly. But when the sun comes back, and it warms up, it's really nice here, you know, in the summertime. For four or five months, it's just, you know, almost 24/7 sunlight, and everything just is really, you know, it's really active. And I've had a lot of fun this winter. You know, I've done a lot of four wheeling. I went to got to stand on a glacier and feel it move, which really freaked me out. Standing on a glacier, and all of a sudden everything starts making noises and rumbling underneath your feet, and you can hear it actually moving underneath of you. That is a feeling that I'll never forget in my stomach, where I was like, okay, had enough, let's go.
Pictures of that?
It was really weird.
Tim, did you take pictures of that, of you being in the glacier?
I do have some pictures of the glacier. Yes, I do. I do have some pictures of the glacier. I don't know if I'm having difficulties with my electronics recently. So
okay.
I have my old Facebook page, but I did finally get a new phone, and I'm kind of – the other phone is – it just went berserk on me. It was one of those Samsung phones, and it lost just about everything I had in it. It was gone. So that was all my contacts and people and pictures and, you know, history for quite a few years. So I'm slowly.
Apple. My daughter works for Apple. It's one of the
that's what I hear. I'm slowly getting some data and information back, finding numbers that I've had written down or, you know, maybe in past places and whatnot. And so I'm slowly connecting back with people a little at a time. And, you know, being a little more selective of who I let into my life too, because I'm really, you know, there's light and darkness, and there's darkness and light, but I really would rather have more light than darkness, if that makes sense. Being picky about who I let in my life, is I really want, you know, peace, love, and light, you know, to bring me, and that's what brings joy. And so the people that bring me peace, love, and light are the ones that I want closest to me, or, you know, to be a part of what I share with, instead of negative, hateful, spiteful, darkness, and negativity is which you can never get rid of, but you can select how much.
It's like going back to kindergarten with some people, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Go back to high school. Now you never... Once that gets a hold of you, you have no recourse but to stay away. They become very, very toxic. As a matter of fact, you got to be careful with people like that. That's very true. And I'm being also this year I'm being more mindful in how I bring my energy to certain people too.
Yes, there's a lot of toxic people out there right now.
Talking about, you know, the hauntings and things like that, and you're just, it's funny how this is all coming to play. I have on my on my iPad, it's called Signs and Symptoms of Entities That Are Attached to People and, and to Places. And so the signs and symptoms, I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to read this. Sometimes you may get a feeling that there is something not right about a house or place, or that a person has a spirit or entity attachment. Don't panic. Do trust your intuition. How can you tell if you or somebody you know is affected by entities or astral wildlife? Here are some of the main signs and symptoms. Most people with unwanted energy attachments will have more than one of the following signs and symptoms. So your intuition is telling you that all is not well. It just says your intuition is telling you that all is not well. Fatigue, headaches, cold or clammy patches in your aura, insomnia, bad dreams and nightmares, unexplained aches and pains, anxiety and fearfulness, depression, obsessive behaviors, self-mutilation, eating disorders, out-of-character behaviors, especially angry outbursts, lack of eye contact or haunted look in the eyes, drug addictions, alcoholism, suicidal thoughts or actual attempts. In your house or the people that you might live with, cold spots in the house, droughts that come from doors, windows, or any obvious source, noises such as knocking, footsteps, strange smells that come and go for no apparent reason, issues with your electronic equipment, including your phones, light bulbs blowing, equipment switching on and off, or phones playing up, a feeling that you're being watched. You get People feel drained and very depressed in the dwelling, but feel better when they go outside. A gut feeling that things aren't just right with yourself or your surroundings. If you are sensitive to these type of energies, you will get these symptoms such as headaches, depression, when someone else comes into your space with an entity. Sometimes your partner or people that you live with get as much benefit from a clearing as a person with the entity themselves. You are especially at risk if you work with energy as a light worker, Reiki healer, spiritual healer, work in hospitals or doctor's offices. You must keep your auric boundaries very strong and very well protected.
Well, I tell you, there's your subject right there. Because you hit about 90% of those.
I have about 90%
right,
of those.
That's what they're talking about. Tired when you're in contact with certain people, they're actually, what they're doing is they're draining your energy. Unfortunately, entities can get into your energy, especially if it's low, you're tired or sick, and your psychic boundaries are weakened. You may also, for example, attach, alter an operation, or when you've been ill or either physical or mental illness. Although entity removals may be useful in allowing the body to get on and heal unhampered, it is not to be seen as a cure for underlying illness that should go under medical care. So that's what it says. Yeah, just what's interesting.
Man, about. That sends chills up my spine right there. I know Jason
and I
will
are
be
in trouble.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, that's what it says. You guys are talking about it, and I have this thing on here, so it's... Wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
See, Jason and I, we're like yin and yang, man. We used to actually joke with each other about how we complete each other, and I've always believed that. You know, we have this sense of we give each other energy. I know we always have, and it was in a way that was unexpected. You know, I mean, when I had the honor and privilege to meet Jason several years ago, it was instantaneous. And where other people wouldn't understand how there was such a spiritual bond between the two of us, as if we were from another realm light years ago or something really unusual.
Right, like a past life, who knows, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, it's
brother
like we were like
a soul tribe.
yeah, like Highlanders, you know, that, you know, belong to the same clan or whatever. That was just how it was. That's how it is. That's how it always will be, for all I'm concerned.
Yeah, we just need to get you back to Portland so we can start doing some more of our crazy movie nights.
No doubt.
That was
one of the things
we used to do.
That's why I was saying it, other than maybe from one of our movie nights.
I know. And Sherry, I don't know, he introduced me to something that was totally amazing. You know, when you go to the movie theater, you buy buttered popcorn and it's delicious. But he introduced me to something that he calls, and it's called pirate popcorn. And it's popcorn, just like cooking regular popcorn, but you use olive oil and brewer's yeast, and it's oddly tasting but strangely addicting. The brewer's yeast.
Yeah. The brewer's yeast is a nutritional flake, or brewer's yeast, and it's high in vitamin B, and your body naturally craves vitamin B. And I use what I call Italian butter, which is extra virgin olive oil, and you pop the popcorn in olive oil, and then you sprinkle a little bit on top of it, and then you sprinkle the brewer's yeast, which attaches to it, and I pop a pot of it every week. And I eat it all week long. I still do it today.
Wow.
it's
very good for you.
Wow.
it is delicious. Yep. And I'm using actual sea salt now. I use the sea salt, not the Himalayan pink, but the white one. And it is, let me get the name of it here. Instead of using just regular salt, I am using now what's called a Mediterranean sea salt on a grinder.
Nice.
So I grind that on there, and
Does it taste a little bit dry or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. It just tastes delicious to me.
it's delicious.
It just tastes
no
delicious.
Joke.
Yeah. Yep. That and crispy critters. Yeah.
Oh yeah! Tell the listening audience as we turn into a food show about Krispy Critters.
Krispy Critters.
Tell the audience when. Okay, I would go over and stay. He's got this killer RV, and we would watch movies and do pirate popcorn. Tell them about our diet when I would come over. What our standard fare would be. We'll make this a little brief food episode.
Yeah. Yep. Standard fare would either be filet mignons or porterhouses. And then several different types of, like, onion, garlic, sausage, and which are from the deli, not these, you know, cheap little sausages you get. You know, these are, like, you know, premium quality sausages. And then what I call crispy critters, which are chicken wings. And it's a very deep seasoned chicken wing, and then you just grill it on the Barbie until they're nice, big, and crispy. And we would, and of course, the pirate popcorn, and we would just kind of mow on this all night and all day. Of course, with any type of malty fresh beverage that anyone enjoyed, which I know Jason was always a nice, lukewarm Coors Light. And me, I was always pretty good at pulling
it. I don't drink anymore now, but God, so delicious. Lukewarm beer. Hey, let me tell you a story. Since you mentioned lukewarm beer, I was speeding, unknowingly speeding in Eastern Oregon, and I got pulled over by a state trooper, and I had this six-pack of beer in the front seat. So he notices that, and I told him, he questions me on it, and I told him I was going to drink it later, and he questions me about drinking lukewarm beer like he didn't believe me. And I'm thinking, brother, you don't know me, and I love my lukewarm beer. It don't have to be cold. But he thought I was up to something because I would drink warm beer. I don't care what the temperature is. As long as I'm getting my buzz on, who cares?
But I can confirm
God.
That he likes his beer. He would actually take his beer. Do you want to put it in that refrigerator for you? Oh, no, no. I got to let this warm up a little bit first. And I was like, that's different.
Very different. It's like warm or room temperature Coke or something, huh?
It is. Well, I had one other person that I was a roommate with in St. Mary's, Georgia, Point Peter out there, when I worked at the Trident Nuclear Subbase. And this was back in the 80s, 85, 86, somewhere around there. And he did the same thing. He liked to have he drank Budweiser, and it was always, he had to let it warm up. It was lukewarm, and this was in the hot, southern Georgia. And his beer had to be, he could not drink it cold. He had to have it warm. So there's only two people in my lifetime that I know that likes warm beer, and those are the two people.
Well, unfortunately, I quit drinking about 3 or 4 years ago. But, yeah. So
it's not unfortunate. It's a good thing.
I suppose. I miss the fun of alcohol. But I now, switching subjects real quick, something just popped into my head. I was listening to a radio show the other day. Actually, I think it was last night or the night before. Anyway, it was talking about, this guy was going on and on about, and this is kind of relevant because you work in patient care in a hospital, and
mm-hmm.
he was saying that he had multiple implants that were done by the government, and that everybody has these implants, and they get these little secret microscopic implants anytime they go and have any kind of procedures done at the hospital or dental things or anything like that. The government is implanting us with objects. I sounded to me like it was complete BS and the guy's Looney Tune, because I don't really believe that every time you go get your filling, they're putting some sort of tracking device into you. So from somebody that's involved in patient care, are you aware, have you witnessed or heard of anything about hospitals implanting people unknowingly with secret microscopic nano bugs or trackers or whatever?
Oh, absolutely not. And I've worked in hospitals all over the United States. First of all, they wouldn't go through all the all the lawsuits, can of lawsuits for anyone that, there's so many people that work in hospitals, there's no way they can keep it quiet. Because hospitals are just, it's so much drama. You've worked in hospitals. Hospitals are just nothing but drama, and no one's going to keep quiet about stuff like that. There's no way. And I guarantee you that's not happening. And if so, if it was happening, we'd already know about it. It would be known exponentially. But I do not – I think someone's living in Disneyland storybook time or vice versa when it comes to information like that. Not true. Not on a civilian level. Now, military – military installations, military hospitals, there could be a possibility that there's some type of born identity thing going on or whatever, but I, to the military side of it, but on the civilian side of it, I'm going to say, I'm going to call shenanigans on that one. No way.
But anybody that listens to the show knows I like a good conspiracy theory, and this was beyond my level of belief. I don't think that's going on. It could be going on maybe on a selected, like, CIA basis or something like that, but not in mass. There's just no way. Like you hit the nail on the head. Hospitals are just one big rumor mill drama, and you're absolutely right. There's no way people would not talk about that.
There's no way, man. It'd be all over the 7 o'clock news fast if one person was in the OR room and saw some doctor implanting something in a patient or whatever. Like, yeah, right now, that ain't gonna happen. Nope. Would they spend the money to do it. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I've been reading news that they're gonna on alternative news sources that sooner or later they're gonna not give us a choice but to go and microchip stuff. I don't know. I don't know whether to believe that. In a way, I believe that, but in a way, how are you going to find out whether you're going to be you know, required to go and get microchipped, just like they ask you to go and turn in your guns or they turn in your pills, you know, to, I mean, where does it end? I don't know. I want to be open to that. So what do you think, guys?
I think that that's never going to happen because this is, you know, America and this is the United States. And I don't think if people are ignorant enough to let the government do something like that, then, you know, that's just, no, I don't think that people would ever let the government do it. And then that's when we would take the government back when they start mandating things like that. That's to me, can it happen? Sure it could if we let them do that to us. But are we going to let them do that to us? Oh, not me or anyone in my house.
Not me.
And you know, like, I was like, just something simple about the, like the guns, you know, if you have guns, you should turn them in. Or like I said earlier about, you know, pills, if you don't have any pills, turn them in. Well, why are they trying to monitor you? You know, why can't you dispose of them yourself? Or, you know, that it's like, where do you end? Where does it end?
Yeah, no, not going to get my guns. They're not going to get my pills. They're not going to get my pillows. that's one of the things, you know, I'm like, sorry guys, this stuff is mine and it doesn't belong to you. And even though it's temporarily mine, because nothing really belongs to you, you're just a steward of it while you're here on the planet Earth.
Exactly.
Even though I work hard for it.
Even with your property, you may be lucky to own it outright from the bank, but you still have to answer to the government. So.
Yep. And no one owns this world. This world was here long before us. It'll probably be here long after us, or it'll be gone with us one way or the other. So it's all temporary, man. This is all one temporary flight. You know, it's curious to see what's going to happen next. It's been a hell of a ride for me. I know that so far. And I'm still on the roller coaster with my hands in the air like I just don't care. So hooray. It's true. Ask anybody who knows me, man. It's so true.
Yeah,
there's a reason why I never had children. It's a reason why I live alone, you know. There's a reason why I'm on the phone with you two right now, you know. There's a reason for everything. And I'm hard on myself. I get lonely, you know. I still break down. You know, Jason and I both went through some pretty hard times this last year with heartbreak, and I know it still hurts him. I know it still hurts me. I know sometimes I'm like, what happened and why? And why is my life like this? And, you know, I get on the woe is me, all my soul type of trips. And then I have to slap myself upside the head and say, you know what? You got it made, bro. You know? There's poor guys out there that look at me and say, man, you are living the dream. I wish I was in your shoes. And I look at them and say, man, you're living the dreams. I wish I was in your shoes. Then I have to stop and say, wait, just live in the shoes that I got. You know, just be me. You know, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. No, it's not. It's just as shitty as it is on this side of the fence. Let's see if I can water it, give it some fertilizer, and make it green for me. Because that's the only way it's going to grow, brother. Life's a garden. Dig it. I mean, Joe Dirt had it right out of the movie.
So
yeah,
true.
Each experience that we have, our setback, we look at it, it's like, why me? Sometimes people say, God, why do I do it? And at that time, you know, like with me, I get OCD about it. I get obsessive compulsive thinking, and I just go running over and over and over and over. And until you can get it out of your system and understand what are the lessons in it, then it makes it easier to not have attachments. That's the whole problem is that we as human beings, we have attachments, whether to our, you know, what the outcome is from other people, things, places, everything. We have attachments. And if we learn to not have attachments, do the best you can, be the best you can at that moment, you'd be happier, I think. It's so easier said than done. I'll tell you that, though.
It is way easier said than done, and I agree with you. But like, once again, the key word here is we as humans were born in this world independent. I mean, not independent. We're born into this world. When you're born, if no one takes care of you, you will die because you're just an infant. And you have that. That's ingrained in us. It's in our DNA.
So even today, I feel like I need someone in my life or something. There's always that need, that want. And even though you don't have it, it's still there, which leaves emptiness. And it's common because we are human. It's very common. To be independent is to be alone. And being alone is lonely. You know, I'm alone but not alone. That's a saying, you know, that's true. If you figure that out, being alone is alone. Being alone is still lonely, even though I'm not alone, because there's people in my life. But it's just you. You are your own entity. Mm-hmm. And then when you start talking about the manifestation, that makes a lot of sense. And it's a great topic, for sure. One that needs more discussion because it'll bring more understanding. Bulb goes off, it's dark. When it comes back on, it's an aha moment for me. I love those aha moments because that's when I'm like, aha, now I know what that means, or aha, now I know what she was talking about, or aha, now that makes sense because I can read it over and over again.
Definitely.
Yeah, the epiphany of it all. Yeah, I can read it over and over again. Doesn't mean I understand it. Doesn't mean I understand it. It's when you have that epiphany, that moment of epiphany that's like, yes, now it makes sense. Now I can apply it to my life because this I understand.
And I like the way you said surrounding yourself with positive people and making it a win-win situation. I like that.
Yes.
I always surround myself with people, you know, that are like-minded.
Yes. I have to do that, even though I'm at work. If I have someone that's come to me and they always come to me and they want to complain about somebody else, I know you have issues with this person. I know there's things that, you know, it just probably rubs you wrong and you probably rub them wrong and all this and all that. But you bringing them to me is only affecting me. It's not helping me at all. So if you don't have anything nice to say about someone or someone else, I'd appreciate it if you didn't, you know, bring it up to me because I don't have any problems. So that's just me trying to be polite. If you could just, you know, give me this one courtesy. And then you should see the look on their faces. They're like, oh. I was like, yeah, because I don't need the negativity. I just don't. It just brings me down. I go to work to be happy. I'm happy when I go to work. When I go to work, when people go to work, they're like, oh, I had to get up and go to work this morning. I was like, well, if you don't like your job, go get another one, man.
Yeah.
I love my job. When I go to work, I love what I do. I'm passionate about what I do. I'm passionate about the people I work with. I'm passionate about the people I work for. We are pretty much a family. I'm at work more than I am at home.
Wow, that's awesome.
So why make it negative if I don't want to be there if it's a negative environment? That's probably why I've moved around so much, because there's so much negativity in the world. But who can change that? Only me.
Yeah.
And running away from it isn't change. Running away from it is not changing it. Confronting it changes it.
You'd be surprised when you go to a restaurant or even go to the fast food place or just go to even the bank. You can just tell by looking at them whether they like their job or not. And most people don't.
Oh, totally agree with that. It really is. Yeah. How can you be in the service industry and expect to get a fair amount of a tip or anything if you're going to be that person? I don't understand. Life is really, it's challenging. And because these days now, with as much as everything's changed since we were children, I think there's a lot of fault that has happened because of all the technology that's happened. It's only going to get worse. We live in a nation of young adults who don't want to work. Everything's been handed to just about everyone. And even the homeless people, as horrible it must be to be out there, they choose this life that they still are very fruitful at. It's amazing.
I'm really old-fashioned. I don't know about you, Jason, or Tim, but I'm really old-fashioned. I'm not the kind of person, I would rather call a person and say, hey, and get to the point, not yada, 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 but just get to the point, hey, what's going on here, or how I feel, or I apologize, or anything like that. But a lot of times, you know, you can't get a hold of them. It's like, I can understand if it's important, but a lot of times you just get texts, you know, people just want you to text them. It's almost like they don't want to talk to you unless you text them. Yeah, it's crazy.
I can hardly talk to anyone on the telephone anymore. No one wants to talk on the telephone. It's all about
Isn't
text.
Horrible?
And the bad thing about text, and poor Jason, he's just sitting there listening to us go back and forth. Sorry, buddy.
I'm just listening.
The thing with texting these days is you have no idea, because you can take a room full of people with one text, and I guarantee you that each person will interpret it differently from each person about what that text actually meant or how a person was feeling, because there is no personality in that text unless you use all the correct punctuations and you explain why there's not. It's not a book. It's just someone going, "I'm at work today." Oh, I'm at work today. Today I'm at work. You know, or. You don't know how they're feeling or what. There's no feeling in text. There just isn't, unless you add a bunch of emojis and LOLs and JKs and whatever else, you know? Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Well, that's well spoken, and it looks like we do have only a couple minutes left. So, Tim, I want to thank you for calling on the show. I'm glad to hear you're okay. I was wondering about you because I had texted you and didn't hear back from you. I'm glad you're on the mend. That sounds like a pretty nasty injury. So,
yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in. And so, is your old number that's not good anymore? Are you going back to that number?
That number is null and void. No longer do I have that old number. It's null and void. The number that I have right now is a 2016 number, and that's the one that I'm using right now until I can get unless I keep that number. That's my temporary number right now, and it is good. And now that I have your number written down, which I'm sure that this is your right number, contact me through that number you have right now, and then we keep in touch with each other, okay? I'm not messing with Facebook that much. Rarely am I on Facebook, and I'm not messing with it all that too much. I did post some things last night for New Year's Eve. I do post some of the Jeep runs that I do when I'm out with the Alaska Extreme 4x4, but don't really mess with Facebook that much anymore. I don't let it rule my life. I'm just sick of it. I think Facebook is one of those entities you were talking about, Sherry.
Yes, and also, too, I was telling Jason quickly, I got myself off of Facebook Messenger because they were talking about, I listen and read the alternative news source, but they were saying that even with the thing off, your Facebook Messenger off, they can listen to everything, all the conversation that you have in your home. And to get rid of that is literally delete the app.
Yeah, and I agree strongly with you on that one. I think Facebook is a horrible way for not only the government, but for bad people, hackers and whatnot, to enter your home.
Oh, I have my open page, you know, as a psychic medium, and I've had some really weird, creepy people that were stalking me.
Yes, and I've had the same thing. That's one of the reasons why I had to get rid of a lot of that stuff, because I'm like, I don't know who this is. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who you are, you know, and as soon as you accept that, they're in, you know. It's just like allowing someone through the front door of your house, and I would just be very cautious of what you do these days, because we live in a time and era where it's hard for me to trust anyone. It really is difficult.
It takes time.
Absolutely. Yep. It's all fine. Well, I'm going to ask everybody in our listening audience to give Tim a hand because he's awesome.
Yay!
That's awesome, man. You guys have come so far in the last few years. That is great.
Oh, we enjoy having you on, Tim. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right,
I love
Tim,
you.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye, guys. Happy New Year. I hope y'all talk to you next weekend, okay?
Yeah,
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it got me laughing.
Well, you know, I have
Jason,
all these.
You need
all these...
to change some commercials.
I have all these things I never play. I don't know. I just never play them. But,
oh, gosh. Change them up. Something funny.
I know.
Something.
Well, I'm always afraid to play it, like, when we have, like, you know, a guest, because I don't want to, like, offend them or anything. So, but I feel a little bit more freedom with it when we're just doing open lines. So I have all sorts of things I can play. So,
oh, good.
Anyways,
well, like our introduction, we probably should, you know, change that. It's about that time, especially with the new year.
Yeah.
Change that energy.
Yeah, yeah. I'll I can work on that.
Okay. Yeah, the first of the new year, change it so we can gather more listeners. Anyway, I'm excited. Hopefully, knock on wood and pray to God that we're going to have continue to have David Weatherly. He's a very well known in the paranormal field, and like I said, I'm going to talk to him, and we're going to discuss what we're going to what kind of subject we're going to go on. I'm possibly maybe BEKs, you know, black eyed children, black eyed adults. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, black-eyed children, that's one that we haven't really covered with an expert for.
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever have, but
a lot of things.
Should be interesting.
Yeah,
all right, well,
much.
I want to thank everybody for listening, and if it's kind of a short notice getting the show out tonight, so I don't know if anybody's listening, but if you are, I hope everybody has a good new year, a good start to the year. And do you have anything else, Sherry?
No, not at all, but Happy New Year. It's welcoming
year.
To have good things come to everybody, not just ourselves, but to everybody. Wishing
absolutely.
You love and peace. All right.
Well, I'm going to end the show actually with a little promotion for a friend of the show, author Edwin Becker, and we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, and check out Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
I'm author Edwin F. Becker. In 1971, there was a Chicago haunting so horrific that it was the first ever paranormal event televised by NBC, and a glimpse of a true exorcism. My book, True Haunting, tells a story. It is one that nearly destroyed my life and did destroy the lives of others. True Haunting is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or you can visit me at edwinbecker.com.